What did he do to make this house so evil?
Murder, vampirism, cannibalism, drug addiction, alcoholism, sadism, mutilation.
How did it end?
If it had ended, we would not be here.
All right, we're doing another movie review already.
Legend of Hell House.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. And it's, okay, you know what's funny about this is that I told you on the last movie review that we did, which was Logan's Run, that we had a huge, I have a huge legal pad, you guys don't even know. That's probably like 100 movies on there at least.
Yeah, and there's another one we gotta add to this too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wanna do The Frighteners.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A very underrated horror comedy.
Yeah, I love The Frighteners.
That has a lot of stuff, has a lot of references to parapsychology and ghost hunting and things like that a lot of times what our shows are about.
Oh man, I just didn't even remember that one.
And that's one of the reasons why we're doing, this is your choice, Legend of Hell House.
Yeah.
But Legend of Hell House actually is pretty true to parapsychology.
Yeah, that was one of the things I always liked about it.
And the arguments that have been going on within parapsychology for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, is this phenomenon or ghostly phenomenon, is it a manifestation of chi or, you know what I mean, energies that come from humans or are channeled by humans, or are they coming from the dead? That's right. Really what the show is about.
Yeah, that's like the essential kind of conflict that's at the center of Legend of Hell House. But as I was saying, I had totally forgotten. Like, I put The Haunting from 1963 because that's one of my favorite horror movies ever. And I had that on the list. But I had totally forgot to put Legend of Hell House on there, even though it's a similar film to A Haunting. It's, you know, it's a couple years newer. But actually, the novel that it's based on, which was written by Richard Matheson, and Richard Matheson also wrote the screenplay for the movie, the novel is actually his version of Shirley Jackson's Haunting of Hill House, on which The Haunting was based. So it's a similar premise. His book is just a monumentally sexed up version of it. Although the movie toned a lot of that down.
Yeah, I think this movie also was kind of the template from which other ghost movies were pulled from, you know, or built on. Like The Evil. It reminds me a lot of
The movie, which we are probably going to do a movie review on. I really liked that movie, actually. I think that's really underrated, too.
It's a little bit like the movie The Legacy, too.
Another one we want to do.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. So it's funny that we remembered to put all those movies on the list, but I'm like, I can't believe I forgot Legend of Hell House, because I must have seen that movie 100 times.
Right. This movie is a really good crash course in the arguments that's been going on between, or that have been going on inside parapsychology and ghost hunting for a long, long time. It's a good crash course.
Yeah, it really is.
In an entertaining setting.
And it's kind of cool because, I mean, I must say, like, I love horror movies of all kinds. I mean, it's, you know, as long as they're good. I like shitty ones too, you know, depending. But probably my favorite subgenre of horror movies is haunted house movies. I fucking love haunted house movies. And this is one of my favorite haunted house movies. Easily one of my favorite haunted house movies of the 70s.
Yeah. And it doesn't really feel like a 70s movie.
It really doesn't. It's very, I mean, it's British. Now, the book it was based on, like I said, it's Richard Matheson, so he's an American. But, and the book was actually set in Maine, but the movie is set in England.
Yeah.
And has all British actors.
Yeah. With two hotties in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's his name?
And Roddy McDowall.
And Roddy McDowell.
I love Roddy McDowall in this, I really must say. I love him and everything. But yeah, so Legend of Hell House, it came out in 1973. As I said, it was based on the book by Richard Matheson, which is just called Hell House. That came out in 1971. Now, Richard Matheson also wrote the screenplay for the movie. So the book and the movie are pretty similar. The only things that are left out of the movie were, like, in the movie, they kind of talk about the guy who owned the house, Emeric Belasco, and how he was this big pervert, like sadomasochist and all this. So he's kind of like an Aleister Crowley type of figure, I guess, you know, with all this mutilation and torture and orgies and all this kind of stuff going on in the house. Now, in the book, I think that's a lot more described. You know what I mean? Like, it's really laid out and described. In the movie, it's just kind of referred to, sort of not, you know, it's like little kids can watch this. It's not really that.
They just let you know that the house is owned by a pervy old sorcerer.
There is an implied ghost rape, but they don't really show it.
There's a lot of, like, hot boobs, titty statues everywhere.
Hot titty statues. Yeah.
You'll see. If you watch the movie, you'll see what I'm talking
about. I
love
the main hot titty statue.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a big, strong sexual undercurrent, not only in the film, the dialogue, but also in the decor of the house.
Yeah. And like I said, the book, the reason the movie is like that, because the book was much more overt.
Yeah, it was supposedly owned by a kind of like a sorcerer named Belasco. And Belasco was, he was kind of like a cross between Aleister Crowley and Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Kind
of. In the book, I think they implied, too, that he was fucking his sister.
Was he?
And various other things.
All right.
And, you know, have, you know, women would have babies and they would eat them and all that kind of, I think that was
That was implied? I don't remember it being implied.
No, I think that was in the book, though.
It was in the book?
Like I said, the book is a lot worse than the movie. So the movie is, like, fairly tame. The movie's kind of
cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah, it's fairly tame. But some of that is still in there by implication.
Yeah, well, they do say cannibalism.
Yeah, that's true.
Cannibalism. That's true. Yeah, this movie was heavily sampled by the gothic industrial band Skinny Puppy.
That's right.
Yeah, especially early Skinny Puppy. Yeah, they took one concept, Church in Hell.
Yeah.
They lifted that from that movie and they made a whole song.
A whole song about called Church in Hell.
Yeah,
that's
right. It was on an EP.
Yeah.
But yeah, Skinny Puppy, Church in Hell.
There you go. But yeah, so basically the setup of the movie is similar to the setup of The Haunting from 1963, which I'm not going to go too much into the similarities between those two things because I want to do a whole show on The Haunting because, like I said, that's probably my favorite horror movie of the 60s. One of my favorite horror movies of the 60s. You get just like a really short setup. Basically, there's an old guy who has all the money. His name is Rudolf Deutsch, I think, and he's dying. And there's a haunted house called Hell House or the Belasco House, and it's supposedly the most haunted house in the world. In the movie, they call it the Mount Everest of haunted houses.
Yeah, and it's been sealed up for like 20 years.
Yeah, it's been sealed up for 20 years. Now, this old guy, Deutsch...
It's not actually just a house. It looks like a damn castle.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a real house.
It's a real
At
house.
Least, I mean, the exterior they use, I can't remember the name of the house. I'd have to look it up on Wikipedia, but it is an actual manor house. I don't know if they use the same house for the interiors and the exteriors.
Probably not.
But
interiors.
But they are actually real houses. So Deutsch is dying and he says, okay, well, I'm going to use my, you know, copious funds to investigate the possibility of life after death.
Yeah, the old guy just tells him, look, your salary is 200,000 pounds.
Well, it was 100,000 pounds per person.
Per person, right. Just tells him that. He goes, oh, okay. Which that was a lot of cash back then.
Yeah, well, it's still a shit. I wouldn't say that. I said, I don't care how haunted the house is. For 100,000 pounds, shit, I'll go sleep in there.
Sure.
And he's basically like, I want an answer within a week. Because you know how rich guys are. They're just kind of like, do that.
Do personalities survive after death?
Yeah, go find that shit out for me.
Yeah.
Well, because he says this house being the most haunted house in the world, this is the only house where it has yet to be refuted. I think that's the wording that they use. Okay, so evidently the main guy or like the head of the group is named Lionel Barrett. And he's a physicist, but also a parapsychologist. And his big thing, like his big theory, and he's hoping that his time at Hell House is going to prove this, is that he does not believe that people's personalities survive beyond death.
Yeah.
He does believe in the paranormal, but he thinks that it's just random, unfocused, unintelligent energy that can be neutralized mechanically.
Or channeled by mediums.
Right. So he's not saying that all of this shit is bullshit. He's just saying that he doesn't think it's an intelligent personality or a ghost, quote unquote.
But kind of what we believe.
Yeah, like I said, he's kind of, he's a lot douchier about it.
Yeah, he is a douche.
And actually in the book,
He
is a complete turd.
Okay.
So he's as snotty and like as a snotty prick as he is in the movie, he's like 100 times worse in the book. He's like just a total fucktard.
Yeah.
He's the main guy. Now he's going with his wife. In the movie, she's named Anne. In the book, she's named Edith. I don't know why they changed that, but whatever. And there are also two mediums. Now, one of the mediums is named Fisher and he's played by Roddy McDowall. Now he is a physical medium.
Yeah.
Which I guess, like I said, I don't know if people know about like old school parapsychology or like old school like seance mediums and stuff like that. A physical medium is just one that
move things.
That can move things and also produces physical phenomena like ectoplasm and things like that.
And Roddy McDowall is at his pissiest best in this movie.
I love him just so much in this.
Yeah. Just pissy,
well, because you hadn't seen it in a long time, right? And like we were watching it last night and Dom's like, why is Roddy McDowall being such a douche?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, one, he has kind of a reason to be a douche.
Actually, I didn't say he's a douche. I called him a bitch.
You did, yeah. Yes, Why is he being such a bitch? But he had a good reason. And honestly, like the head, like I said, Lionel, like the head of the crew there, I mean, he seemed kind of like, well, I'm correct and you guys are just meaning to whatever. Yeah. I just don't think it's any blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you could see there was like a lot of tension between the people, which is one of the things that's good about the movie, like all the tension between the characters. Roddy McDowall, aside from being a physical medium, was also the only person that lived. Well, at first they said he was the only one that survived the last investigation of Hell House. Now, some people from the past ones did survive, but they were insane.
Yeah, he describes how they went down, people being paralyzed, people crawling and, you know, losing their limbs and shit. Mostly leg attacks.
Yeah, which is significant later on. Later on.
Yeah.
But so he was the only one to survive that wasn't physically harmed and also came out mostly psychologically okay.
Yeah.
And I think the last one was 20 years previously, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he
been
has...
been locked up for 20 years, but they just throw the doors wide open and go in there. Yeah. There was even firewood.
Well, Deutsch, the guy that in the wheelchair that was talking to them, he had bought the house for the express purpose of hiring people find out. That's why.
So that's why it was preserved. Okay.
Yeah. And he... Cool. So he had been taking care of it, and he was the one that put all the food in there. And he,
right.
Now, in the book... you got people coming by, like, bringing them food and, like, doing things like that. In the movie, you don't get any of that. They're just there for, like, a week.
And they didn't... I guess they didn't have to do much to seal it up because Belasco himself had all the windows bricked up from the inside.
So no one could see in.
Or out.
Or out.
Right.
Because of all the debauchery that was going on in there. He didn't want anybody... It's not like... It was like the house is way out in the middle of nowhere. It's not like anyone's just going to wander up and, like, peek in the windows and go, oh, my. You know what I mean? It's not like that's going to happen. Yeah. But anyway, he was paranoid, I suppose. The fourth member of the team is a mental medium named Florence Tanner.
Who is
played by Pamela Franklin, and she is cute as a button. Yeah. I swear to God. And I don't even know... Like, I should check her IMDb page. I never remember seeing her in any other movies.
I don't know.
She is fucking adorable.
Yeah.
I don't know. And she was
so... collars.
Yeah. And she looked all proto-goth. She had all her silver necklaces and all the rings and everything like that. I think the way they were talking about her in this, like even before she was introduced, like the way Lionel was talking about her is like, oh, she's just a child or something like that. She does look quite young.
Yeah. She's supposed to be younger than they.
But
than
I
she
think
was.
She was supposed to be... Like, I think they were implying that she was like 17 or 18. But I mean, she actually looked about 23, 24, something like that. She did look quite young, but not like a baby. So the central conflict of the movie is kind of between Lionel Barrett, who has built this machine that he's saying is going to neutralize all this random unfocused energy that's causing the haunting, and between mostly Florence Tanner, who believes that all of the manifestations are caused by a ghost or ghosts. So that's kind of, so there's like a lot of conflict between all the people. Now, it comes to light later on that Roddy McDowall, I mean, because for a while, nothing really happens to Roddy McDowall. Like, he just kind of comes in and walks around like, cool, okay. And he seems all right. Now, when they first go in the house and they're walking around, since Roddy McDowall's been there before, like, Lionel's like, oh, what's this down here? Is that the cellar? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, what's that down there? And he's like, that's the chapel.
Yeah.
And so they're
church in hell.
Yes, because it has it's like it kind of does look like a real chapel, but isn't there like the Jesus figure? It kind of looks like a goat or like a devil kind of figure on there instead of Jesus.
No, I think it was just a regular Jesus from what I remember.
I thought it looked like a goat, but whatever.
The sets look really good.
I mean, house that they filmed this in, I want that house.
I almost feel bad with spoilers with this one. Because
why?
Because I have a feeling that a lot of our subs have not actually seen this
one. If you haven't seen it, then turn this off right now. Because I'm going to spoil the shit out of it.
They're showing it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix right now if you want to go watch it.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, turn it off and go watch it on Netflix.
And then come back.
Because of the kind of movie that it is... You have to let it unveil itself, really.
Yeah.
I think is the way. But if you've seen it, then you know.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if you're into like kind of slow burn ghost haunted house movies like from the 70s, and if you haven't seen it, you really need to see it because it's a classic.
And the phenomenon that it shows and the things that happen are kind of true to life to the really good poltergeist / ghost cases.
Yeah.
They're not inventing stuff. They're actually just using the things that were reported from other cases.
Yeah.
You know, the tremorings and things, you know, and mild cases of possession going on.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of pyrokinesis, I think, that happened. There was ectoplasm that happened, which even in mine, with the blue mist, in my case, the blue haze, I think maybe an early medium, you know, like an 1800s medium, yeah. I would have thought that that was ectoplasm.
Yeah.
But photographs of actual ectoplasm from seances that we've all seen, you know that's fucking fake.
That's cheesecloth.
It's cheesecloth or cotton and shit.
Yeah.
They're putting cotton up and cheesecloth up in the vag. sneaking it out. It was cotton. That's confirmed.
Yeah, they have caught some of the mediums doing that.
Yeah, cheesecloth in the vag. They wanted to know. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Because there was a certain odor that was reported that was familiar.
Yeah, it's like, what, and it's like, what, well, is what that do you smell? Think? I can't, yeah, where place do you think? It.
Yeah, okay. Then they wanted to rationalize it. Well, you know, ectoplasm exudes from the body and the mouth, and it's, you know, it's part of the human body, so it smells, you know. No. Cheesecloth stuffed up in a bag.
And you're funny because you're acting all grossed out, even though you're the one that brought it up.
It is hilarious. It is hilarious.
Because for real, the ectoplasm that is manifested in Legend of Hell House actually doesn't look like
cheesecloth.
Goop, or it doesn't look like, yeah, cheesecloth. It kind of just, yeah, looks like lights, kind, yeah, of like a lighted kind of thing coming out of her fingers.
The movie has a very good ambience to it that other horror movies tried to copy.
Yeah.
If you watch The Evil, which is another good movie, it's, yeah, like this. I like that movie.
I did too.
The Evil was trying to capture the same feeling as the movie Legend of Hell House. You'll see, yeah, if you watch them both, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Something I noticed that I had never noticed before, that we were watching it last night, and I don't know if they did this on purpose. Legend of Hell House, one, it doesn't really have much of a background score. There's some kind of oboe-y music, like, yeah, at the beginning and at the end. But
not
during
much music.
Yeah, during the movie's runtime, there's not much background music.
I think that might make it feel a little more intense.
That's what I mean. And I thought that, and I was like, that must have been, you know, a deliberate decision.
Yeah,
also,
they had to have had the money. I mean, it didn't.
Well, that's what, like, I mean. Yeah. A lot of other movies from the period had background music or scores, right, but it didn't. And another thing I noticed too, and I don't know if they did this on purpose, but they're in this, I mean, it's a ginormous house. It's just this huge, huge, huge pile. And they're in these big, huge rooms. And when they talk, their voices don't echo.
Yeah.
And I said, I wonder, did they do that on purpose, like to make it seem more claustrophobic?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I don't know if they did that on purpose or if that was just how they did the sound, but I was like, it's actually very effective.
Yeah.
But basically, so they're going to investigate this house. Now, there's kind of a slow buildup of crazy shit that happens. They do like a, what do you call it? Like kind of a seance or like a sitting
at first.
They were doing
sittings and readings.
Yeah, with Florence at first, like the first night, yeah, they get there. And she manifests a different voice that's telling them to get out. I don't want to have to kill you and, yeah, all this other kind of stuff. And that's
I can't help myself.
Yeah. That's kind of freaky. I was, yeah, for some reason, and I think I put this on one of the YouTube comments on one of the other videos about our EVP show. I was like, for some reason, something that's always creeped me out in movies is people talking in other people's voices.
Yeah, well, that actual little monologue that she did while she was possessed, that was actually sampled by Skinny Puppy, and that was used in a song.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that was her voice. They just distorted it.
Yeah, it's weird. Slowed it down or something. I don't,
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's just very funny sounding.
Lowered it about 3 octaves.
Yeah, but so that has always freaked me out, and also, in a movie, if someone's talking in their normal voice and then, yeah, all of a sudden their voice changes to, yeah, you know, like the part in The Shining where Danny's like, red, rum, 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 rum. Yeah. Oh, that used to freak me the fuck out when I was kid. I was like, stop it! Oh! I don't know why that freaks me out so much. And there's that part too in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where Judge Doom at the end, where you find out that he's a toon, spoiler alert, when, yeah, you thought he was a human the whole time, and, mm-hmm, he's just like, don't you remember me? Whatever his name was. He's like, when I killed your brother, I talked just like this! And then he had like the toon voice, and I'm like, oh shit, nope, nope, nope. I don't know why that scares me so much, but it does.
Never
it just,
bothered me.
Yeah, it freaks me. I don't know why, it just freaks me out. But yeah, so yeah, so over the course of it, like, so she has also some kind of poltergeist activity kind of shit happening in her room. Like her door opens and closes by itself. There's like breezes. She hears voices like talking to her. I don't know if it's out loud or if it's just in her mind or whatever. So she kind of comes to the conclusion that not only is Belasco haunting the house, but that there's another ghost who is trapped there who for some reason, I mean, she thinks it's Belasco's son.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if the movie ever implied that they knew that Belasco really did have a son or if she just pulled that out of her ass or what.
Right. It gets into the same kind of situation that is very common, like in the series The Haunting, where there's a chief ghost and then he's got a whole bunch of prisoner ghosts.
Right.
That's what they're... You
know, that's what she kind of comes to believe. Right. And she kind of comes to believe that... I mean, at first, I think she thinks that it's just Daniel Belasco and that he's just scared and that he was victimized by his father in life and he can't leave. You know, and then this whole time, like, Lionel is being kind of a bitch ass about it and being like, no, it's just nothing. It's just like a bunch of random energy. It's not a surviving personality. And they're kind of at each other's throats. Now, we also find out that Roddy McDowell, really, he should be doing sittings along with Florence. He should be trying to earn his money.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything.
But he's not doing anything right. Because he has decided, one, he's already been through this shit and he doesn't want it, but he needs the money. So he said, well, I'm just going to sit in this house for a week,
yeah.
Close myself off psychically and not do anything.
Yeah.
Cash my check and get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah, on a side note, as each day passes, it has what day it is and the time.
Yeah.
And it's and the date. And they use the exact same font that they use in The Shining.
It does look like that. I think that's where Stanley Kubrick got that
idea
from, maybe.
Right.
Unless there was a lot of movies doing that back then. I don't know if there was.
So.
But yeah, it's funny because the first...
got that.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I was like, oh, just like The Shining. Yeah. But that, yeah, it's exactly the same thing, like at the bottom of the screen, telling you the day and the time and everything like that. Like I said, so all the psychics kind of at each other's throats. And then Lionel gets mad at Roddy McDowell because he's like, you're blocking yourself off and Deutsch is wasting a third of his money because you're just sitting around not doing anything and not helping and all this other kind of shit.
Yeah, and he gets pissy, of course, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Roddy McDowell's going to get pissy.
He is, yeah.
And I can't do his voice or I would.
Yeah.
No,
I can't believe you can't do Roddy McDowell's voice. I can't do it either. And then it comes to a thing where the kind of poltergeist activity sort of ramps up and it seems like a lot of it is directed at Lionel. So Lionel starts to believe that Florence, that the spirits in the house, well, he doesn't believe it's spirits, but Roddy McDowell starts to believe that the spirits in the house are controlling Florence or they're working through her.
You said Roddy McDowell is doing this. Roddy McDowell. No, what's the name of his character? You forgot, did you?
Fisher,
yeah.
Well, I do that. It's interchangeable. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's interchangeable.
Roddy McDowell playing himself as himself.
Roddy McDowell.
It's a great medium.
Medium and parapsychologist who investigated Hell House and lived to tell the tale. But yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So Lionel starts to get mad because he thinks that Florence is being used by the energy in the house to attack him. So there's all these arguments. He's like, you know, you need to leave. And Florence is like, no, you need to leave.
Yeah,
and
don't throw that ghost on me. Don't throw that psychic energy on me. So it's like a bunch of Sith fighting each other.
It is kind of, yeah. And then... So Lionel's wife, Anne, she kind of gets caught in the middle of it all, too. Now, she gets possessed also.
Yeah.
And the ghosts...
All of a sudden, she gets interesting.
Turn her into a hoe.
Yeah, she gets real interesting. Yeah.
Like, okay, so her husband, who seems like not really all that exciting, to be honest.
Yeah, he's an older guy who's quite stick in the mud.
Yeah. So he keeps falling asleep early, and she's kind of in her nightgown. She's like, hey, oh, you're sleeping already.
I'd say he's about 45, 46, the actor.
Yeah.
And then the actress that playing his wife is about, what, 22?
So, well, she might be a little bit older
25,
than that, yeah.
What, hot as hell?
Yeah. So she's kind of like, oh, well. And then she starts seeing things like the kind of bestiality sort of statues in there. Like, she sees the shadows moving.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, maybe
she
I'll kind of...
She starts feeling in a mood.
Yeah. So she goes...
She putting a mood on Roddy McDowell.
Well, yeah, because he's the only other man
great
there.
Great parapsychologist, Roddy McDowell. he's giving... I don't know if he was straight, but he was giving me the gay vibes at the time because he was turning her down. Remember that?
Yeah.
Slapped her.
Well, maybe he thought she... Well, he knew she was possessed.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't want to
get... I guess
he's
going to be honorable about it.
Yeah, I guess so. Because she came down the stairs and she's like, hey, let's all have an orgy.
She goes, you, me, that girl. Wait a minute, hold on.
What?
Clutching, sweating, biting.
Yeah, that's right.
And, <I'm> like, and he's like, No.
and everyone in the audience is like, what?
What are you talking about? Because she also threw in drunk.
Yeah, that too. That's right. Like,
okay. Yeah.
I like this idea. Yeah, I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah.
And then she throws her robe off and she's standing there. Yeah. So Roddy McDowell, who's, you know, he's a good guy. So he just smacks her.
She was molesting the teddy statue too when she was saying that.
She was.
Remember she had the big old
teddy statue? Well, when she first came, she came down the stairs like all seductive, like Jessica Rabbit and shit.
Yeah.
And then the fabulous titty statue.
Yeah.
She's kind of over there going, look at this. She was appreciating the art.
That was definitely a D cup. Definitely a decap on that.
It
on
certainly was. And yeah. I liked how proud the statue was of them.
Proudly presenting them. Proudly presenting them. Like you should. You wrote the book on that. What are you talking about?
I know. I was just going to say.
Okay.
So anyway, wow, we went off on like a whole tit
review.
Thing.
It's movie review.
Okay, so yeah, she gets possessed. Everyone gets possessed. Okay, so I have to say, the resolution of this... It didn't occur to me at the time, but it's strange. Like, I don't know why. It's just the whole thing of it. When you think about it, it's kind of weird, right? Now, spoiler alert, like I said, now, if you haven't seen it, you should have turned it off by now. And if you haven't, it's your fault, okay? Yeah. So don't be mad.
You're the one that's
don't
fucking
be
up.
Mad. That's
you're
right.
You're the one that's fucking up.
Okay. So after all this happens, they find a body, like, behind a wall.
Yeah.
Like, chained behind a wall, a skeleton. So Florence is like, in your face, parapsychology boys.
Yeah,
like, see,
you,
I told you, that's Daniel, and right. he's in here. And all we have to do is bury him and give him a proper funeral and stuff like that in it.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
Fuck the popo, we're not telling them. We're just gonna bury him.
They tell the popo about nothing.
Right.
What is the British? What is the British equivalent of the popo?
I don't know, the bobo. The bobbies, right? The bobo.
Yeah.
But... the thing is that house had been sealed up for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
All right? That body looked pretty fresh to me. It still
had... It was kind of mummified.
It had meat on it, though. Rotten meat on it.
Yeah.
That should have all been gone, I would think, after 20
years.
Well,
if it was sealed up, maybe...
I don't know.
Maybe, well, yeah, you think
was,
with the humidity.
And that was
there.
20 years at the time of the sealing that they sealed it up. You know, maybe the time of the murder might have been a decade before that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so.
Because I think the house, they said the house was built in 1919.
1919.
Yeah. I don't remember what time they said Belasco died. Well, they didn't say Belasco died. They just said he disappeared.
Disappeared. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They found him.
Well, yeah, at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they did find a body. So they take Daniel out. They give him a funeral out in the yard. And, you know, then from then, everything's supposed to be fine. But then the haunting continues. And then at this point, it's when Florence figures out, oh, well, maybe Belasco's in. He's keeping Daniel here. He's keeping the other ghosts here trapped. And that's why burying him didn't do any good. And now she's kind of a dummy because evidently the ghost, quote unquote, comes to her in the night and says, hey, if you let me fuck you, then I'll be free.
And yeah, I'll have the strength to be free.
Right.
That's
which
what the ghost said.
Jesus Christ. You think, you know, you hear that from a living person, you're like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But when you hear it from a ghost and you're like,
well, she was
legit.
She was a naive young Christian girl. She's just, okay. Okay, I give up.
Yeah. And guess what happens? She gets possessed.
She gets possessed.
Like, totally possessed.
Yeah.
Although she still is kind of fighting it because sometimes she'll be like, talking in his voice and like...
I liked her better possessed, actually.
She was kind of rad possessed,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
she? Her hair was all messy and stuff.
You
and...
slept in the chair? You could have slept with me.
Yeah.
When you see the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Poor McDowell.
She calls Roddy McDowell, but I know. He was really getting the shit end of the stick.
Yeah, I know. And all the women were fucking chasing him and he couldn't do anything about it.
Right? When it comes to the end and Lionel is like, okay, well... I'm going to turn on my ghost-busting energy-neutralizing machine. I'm going to reverse the polarity.
Yeah, that's the thing. That,
and he
that,
says
yeah.
pretty much that.
He pretty
movie.
Much says I'm going to reverse the
polarity.
Because
we said reverse the polarity, and then he said something very similar
to
that.
That's kind of like the universal Doctor Who.
It is,
solution.
Yeah. That's why I laughed.
Yeah, hand me the sonic screwdriver. Let me reverse the polarity.
Yeah. Give me, let's turn on the whatever technology, and we're going to neutralize the ghost dishes.
Basically.
So that's basically what this machine does. Then so he's like, okay, well, we're gonna turn it on and then we're gonna leave the house and then it'll be fine. So Florence, who still does not believe that this machine shit is gonna work,
and she's also kind of possessed,
she tries to destroy the machine
well,
in the lamest way possible.
She broke the dials.
Yeah, she picks up like a fireplace poker or something, and she starts to try to wreck it.
Yeah.
Which I guess was the ghost doing that.
Yeah.
So
it didn't work though.
Yeah, she broke like two of the little dial windows, and I'm just like, wah wah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the parapsychologist guy said, well, you know, good thing that she didn't know what to break.
Yeah. So, you know, then he's like, just sit over there with, you know, just be good. Now, while they're fucking around trying to fix the machine, Florence gets up and she goes into the chapel. And then she looks like she has like a revelation, like she figures everything out, like, oh my God.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was calling her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she heard a voice calling her. And she goes in there and she sees it. And then the big crucifix with the goat Jesus on it, which I think, maybe it's just a funny looking Jesus.
I think
Jesus.
It was just a funny looking
maybe
Jesus.
Maybe it's just a funny looking Jesus. I don't know.
I didn't notice anything like goat, you know, really unusual or satanic about it. It just was a crudely formed Jesus.
Okay, but whatever. But yeah, so she goes in there and it falls on her.
Yeah.
And crushes the lower half of her body.
Yeah.
So as she's blood dying, everywhere. She's laying there, there's blood running everywhere. As she's dying, she dips her finger in the blood and draws a little symbol.
Yeah, it's like a circle with a bee in it.
A circle with a bee in it.
Yeah.
And then she dies. So then all the other ones find her and they're like, oh shit. And then they just kind of leave her there.
Yeah.
Again, no popo
no
or bobo or whatever. They call no one.
Yeah.
So they just kind of leave her there like, ah, that's a goddamn shame. She was
cute.
Oh, yeah,
the prosecutor will understand.
Yeah. Whatever, shit's haunted, you know? Yeah. You just do what you gotta do.
So they got the little cute proto-goth girl all crumpled up underneath a huge crucifix and blood drying up.
Yeah.
So but they continue the investigation.
Yeah, they're just like, well, we got shit to do, you know? We don't got time for that.
They even bring her out. They left her in there.
They just left her.
Yeah.
And they weren't even, I mean, they were kind of sad, but they were just like, oh, well.
They're like, no, we gotta continue to,
we gotta to turn on the machine.
Gotta turn on like, the machine and drain this place dry.
Yeah, we had a plan. We can't let a death get in the way of our experiment here.
Got better shit to do.
Right. So they go in and basically he's like, okay, well, we're going to turn the machine on and it should only take a few minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And we have to go outside for some reason. I guess it's like when you tent your house for termites or something like that. It's like, we can't be in here.
You don't want to be around this electromagnetic radiation.
We don't know what will happen. Your head will explode just like in Scanners. I don't know.
Right.
So they turn the machine on. It's like, whoa. Yeah. And then they go outside and they stand and dick around for a little while. I don't know how long it was.
I don't think they said...
It, you know, in the meantime, they kind of show the inside of the house and it's like, whoa. And then there's like, there's kind of like all this vibration happening in the house and you kind of get like voices like, oh shit. Ah! Yeah. You know what I mean? Not like that. Not cheesy, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then there's silence and then they go back inside the house.
Yeah. McDowell tries to check it out.
And Roddy McDowell finally opens himself up to the house.
World famous parapsychologist, Roddy McDowell.
That's right. He was so fucking psychic, man. You don't know.
He goes, it's clear. I don't believe it. It's clear.
Yeah, he's like, your shit worked. Holy
crap. The
only
thing that was missing was the damn gorilla mask. You know, the chimpanzee mask that he had from...
I could Photoshop that on there.
Yeah, put that on there. From Dr. Zayas.
Yeah. Dr. Zayas says that the house is clear.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's like, I can't believe that machine worked. I really didn't. I thought I called it a piece of junk and all this other stuff. You know, because he was a psychic medium too. He believed in ghosts. So they had kind of butted heads about that also. So he was like, wow, it worked and blah, blah, blah. And then some bad shit happens. Because you know it couldn't just end like that. Like, the end, you know, it's fine. Okay. So then Dr. Lionel Barrett is looking at his machine being like, I'm a genius kind of thing. You know what I mean? I solved parapsychology.
Yeah.
And then the machine starts like the dials start going up and it's like, whoa. And he's like,
Everything starts powering back up.
And he's like, I don't accept this. I don't. It's like, well, you got it. You're supposed to be a scientist and everything like that. But wait, like the machine doesn't blow up, does it?
No, they went into the chapel or something fell on him.
Well, he first went, like, a bunch of shit started flying around. Yeah. And then he somehow ended up in the chapel. I don't think they showed him, like, why he went in there. Roddy McDowell and the wife.
Well, they went in
going into the room and all the shit is all, like, all his shit is all over the place. And he's like, where'd Lionel go? And then they go in the chapel and guess where Lionel is? He did.
Yeah.
Big fucking...
Chandelier
with candles and it fell on him and squished him.
Yeah.
In the chapel.
Well, you see, I think that they had to check the, if I remember correctly, they were checking the entire house and it was all clear except.
Right. Except for the chapel. Was, like when they went into the chapel, and they found Lionel dead. And then Roddy McDowell, parapsychologist,
yeah.
Since he's like, the whole house is clear except for here. And why is that?
So he starts working it out in his head.
Although how he figured this out
was a little bee.
From the clues provided, I have no idea.
It's such a strange 70s.
This is what I meant when I said this is such a strange premise.
Well, one of the things he said, it makes sense. The bee inside the circle. She's just telling us that it's just Belasco. There is no other ghost.
There are no other ghosts. That it was just Belasco the whole time pretending to be other ghosts.
Right, which goes back to that.
Which is fine, yeah.
That's really common. We say that all the time when we're talking about these haunting episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying it's 50 ghosts, but what's the likelihood of that?
Right.
Likely that it's just one ghost impersonating all.
Like,
all
I understand how he got that.
And that's
because
what
she did draw.
Parapsychologist Roddy McDowell says, right. What's more likely? And then,
this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the part where he saw the symbol with the bee in it, because that makes sense. Because they had just had a conversation like the previous day. That she was saying, oh, Belasco is controlling all the ghosts like a general with his army, she said. So I understand that when he saw that symbol that she had drawn in her blood, she's saying that Belasco is the only one.
Right.
And he was just pretending to be the other ones. That makes sense. What kills me and what I'm like, this is a super leap and I don't know how he figured this out. He looks at Florence, whose little legs have been squished.
Yeah.
He looks at Lionel, whose legs...
cute little Florence.
Cute little Florence with her squished legs. Not quite so cute with the squished legs, but still pretty cute, I'm just saying. And then looks at decidedly uncute Lionel, also legs crushed. And then he remembers...
That's right. Then he remembers
back to all the other people that were on the investigation that he was on before, that he was the only one to get out of, like, with his sanity intact.
Yeah.
And he's like, all of those people's injuries were leg-related.
Yeah.
All their legs were crushed. Like they broke their ankles. They broke their shins. They were crippled. All these other kind of stuff.
That's right.
So he figures out that Emmerich Belasco was not a midget.
Just a real short guy.
But short. Because here's the thing. Emmerich Belasco, like I said, they don't say this in the movie, but I think the implication was that he was kind of a insecure little loser type dude. Like he was a bastard and all this other kind of stuff.
His dad was a rich industrialist. His mother was evidently a floozy type of deal.
Yeah, that type of thing.
And he was born with an ugly face that looked like a demon. And that they called him the laughing giant, that he was 6'5".
The roaring giant.
But McDowell, world famous parapsychologist, McDowell, figures out that really what it was is that he must have been very short.
Yeah.
Nah, you know.
Because so much of Belasco's ego was tied up in him being this imposing
big guy.
He was supposed to be 6'5" and he had this really ugly demon looking face. When they show him,
he's just normal looking.
But I think so much of his ego was tied because he was so insecure. Yeah. He was trying to like project this thing.
Right.
So since Roddy McDowell, famous medium, figured that out. Yeah. He's like, well, he must have been super short because why would he?
5 feet tall.
Yeah, so he starts yelling at Belasco, like challenging the ghost, like, how short were you, motherfucker?
Yeah, like that kind
of stuff.
Yeah.
And Belasco gets mad, like just like you do when you get, like, you really got.
He gets in a ghost bitch fight.
Yeah, he does.
One bitch against another bitch, really. Whiny, mano a mano. Whiny ass Roddy
ghosto
McDowell.
Ghosto a ghosto.
World famous parapsychologist. Roddy McDowell.
But yeah, so see, he starts yelling at Belasco, and Belasco is like doing all the paranormal shit. Like, shut up!
He's fighting, I'm awesome! He gets into a wind fight with the ghost.
Let's move this along. Okay, and then we're right at the end. We're right at the end. I know that, but you've been stretching the end out for 15 minutes. It's because you keep interrupting, and then you keep messing it up.
All right.
You keep messing it up. you just saw it last night.
The end is longer than us talking about the end.
It is. So they have the wind fight and everything like that. And then famous medium Roddy McDowell, he puts his little hands on his head like, then the stained glass window behind where the cross was, it breaks.
She puts her hands up to her head and goes, like you guys can see.
Well, you can see it.
Okay.
You can see me doing it. They can imagine.
All right.
So they go through the window and they find a room back there. And Emmerich Blasco was sitting in there. He's just sitting in a chair, holding a glass of wine, chilling the fuck out.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was Brandy.
Or whatever.
And here's the thing that I was like, wait a minute. That's got Brandy.
Evaporated.
Wouldn't that evaporate? I mean, that however long 20-something years. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's alive. Well, yeah. I mean, he is alive because it's an actor. Right. But I mean, but he's not. He's like just preserved, right? And he's just sitting there like, hey. Yeah. And then Roddy McDowall
pulls out a pocket knife
and stabs him in the leg.
Yeah, cuts his pant leg.
He's
got prosthetic legs.
He's got prosthetic legs. Because he was such a shorty and he was so insecure about it, he cut his legs off.
And put on more
prosthetics. And walked around with prosthetic legs to make himself super tall. Right?
Yeah, and I'm a pretty short guy. And I don't think I can get that insecure. I don't know what the hell is wrong with
that. That is some massive insecurity.
I think a tall guy wrote that story. Short guys don't think
I wonder how tall Richard Matheson is. Now I have to go look that up. Because I'm like, who would even think of that? I would not think of that.
No,
I would not think of that.
I'm 5'6". I don't think that.
Why would you?
They were saying that Belasco was like under 5 feet tall.
Yeah, he must have been like
a dwarf. You weren't even 5 feet tall.
Yeah. And then he got like super sensitive. He's like, you're hurting my feelings. Shut up, I'm super tall. But you know what I mean? So it was like that. So then the kicker of the movie, they said, okay, so the medium, Florence Tanner, and the parapsychologist are both kind of right. Because the reason why the machine hadn't completely worked was because the room that Belasco had sealed his body into was lined with lead. So somehow Belasco knew many years, like 20 years or 30 years or however long ago was he died, that some motherfucker would come in there with a ghost neutralizing machine and try to neutralize his ghost. So he's like, well, I'm going to forestall that scenario, and I'm just going to put lead in here, and I'm just going to sit in here with my brandy until somebody walks in and freaks out, sees me.
Well, world-renowned parapsychologist Ryan McDowell surmised that he knew the future, but I think it was just... A wise wizard like Belasco would know that, you know, your shit should be lead lined. You know? Just for good measure, you know. Line it with lead, it'd make it a lot better. Maybe it could. Be real good.
Maybe that's all it was. Maybe it was just totally...
Just total bullshit. Line it with lead.
So they leave that room open. Then they turn the machine on again. And so now the whole house is cleared out.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So the only people that lived were Roddy McDowall, famous medium and parapsychologist, and the wife of the douchey physicist / parapsychologist who died by getting crushed.
And the house still stood, so you know that left it open for a sequel.
But they never made one.
They never made one.
Now, they might make a remake at some point, but meh.
No, they'll fuck it up.
Probably, I'm sure they will. Yeah, there's something about 70s
haunted house. They'll put CG in it.
Well, see, now that's what happened when they remade The Haunting from 1963. Yeah. They remade it in 1999 with like Catherine Zeta-Jones and Owen Wilson and that fucking shit sucked. My God.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the original movie was that they didn't really show anything, but it was still creepy.
Yeah.
But then the remake, it was just, let's make the bed turn into a spider and let's like put all these big and green ghosts flying around. It was the stupidest fucking shit ever.
Yeah.
It made me so angry. So that was The Legend of Hell House. And like I said, there's really... Haunted house movies of the 70s, I don't know what it is, but they just kind of have this sort of overarching, I don't know what it is. It's like some kind of weird feeling about them that make them just creepier than new ones. I don't know why. What is that?
I remember seeing them when I was a kid, and I always had the feeling of like something bad was going to happen. You weren't really sure what state of the art was, so you didn't
That's what we were talking about on you.
You know, I think the first one that I saw that actually, not only did it threaten to show you stuff in that way, it also showed you stuff that fucked you up. That was The Evil.
Yeah.
And that was about what, 1980?
Yeah, 81? I think it was 80 or 81, something like that.
They had enough technology to shock you pretty bad.
Yeah. And really, Legend of Hell House, I mean, it shows things moving around. Like, it shows stuff being moved around, like poltergeist type activity. It shows, like, a creepy seance where she produces ectoplasm.
Yeah.
But other than it doesn't show any ghosts, it doesn't... It's all implication.
Yeah, it's kind of like Amityville Horror.
It is kind of like that.
If you look at Amityville Horror today, that's like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
That'd be like a made-for-TV movie today. It would just it scared people back in the day. You watch it now, and there's really nothing to it.
Well, honestly, depending on how it's done, I think movies that don't show a lot can be potentially scarier than ones that do. Because I think imagining things is worse than seeing them.
Right.
Because sometimes if you show something, you're just like, meh,
this one is a lot more graphic than Amityville Horror.
It is, yeah. That's true.
Even though it's older.
Yeah.
And The Evil... that movie shows even more.
Yeah.
They're all good. It's just a different style.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely recommend Legend of Hell House if you haven't seen it. If you like 70s haunted house movies, it's one of my favorites. I also want to do Burnt Offerings one of these days, which is kind of similar.
Yeah. You got wound up on this one.
I love this movie.
Yeah. You got too excited.
Too excited?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just...
All righty. That'll do it for this is our fourth movie review, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. We'll definitely do some more in the future, and I hope you guys are liking these. We are having a good time doing them. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.